Come on, good morning to you all. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody. I really do believe that there is a divine opportunity for us today. And I'm excited to have this opportunity this morning to be able to speak into your lives. And so I hope you're ready because I really do believe that the Holy Spirit's going to shake some things loose for us today. And so if you turn on your faith right now and set some expectation towards this moment, I really do believe that God is going to do a work in your life that that will mark and bring a change that that marks your future forever. So would you join me in prayer this morning as we jump into the Word? Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Lord, so grateful for what you have done so far. Lord, so grateful for your faithfulness in our lives. And we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, that you're here in the midst of us. Lord, that you are present, that you never leave, that you never forsake us. Lord, that you know exactly what we are facing. You know exactly, Lord, each circumstance and what each family is needing. Lord, you know those needs even before we ask. And that's why you tell us to ask, because you've already provided. You've already made provision. Now all that needs to take place is the alignment of that provision for us. And that's what happens in our prayers. And so this morning I'm asking, Lord, that as each person leans their heart towards you, Lord, that faith would be activated supernaturally, that you would touch and you would help them today to enter into faith. God, that a work could take place today that marks and changes our lives forever. God, I thank you for this. Now, Lord, I set this time apart and decree over it there will be a spirit of revelation and wisdom, that we would know Jesus more and that our lives would be transformed because of it. God, we thank you for these things. And anybody who agreed with that said, amen, amen. Okay, come on. Well, if you are here in Minnesota, if you're in the Twin Cities area, it's a raining outside. And it says springtime. It says that summer's on its way. And I look at that that rain with great joy because it means life. It means that there's a newness. There is a shifting in the seasons that brings about growth and change and progress. And, you know, if you haven't gotten your plants in the ground, you're going to plant a garden, you know, now's the time. You get them in the ground because you know that the soil is ready, that there is bounty waiting for you. And all you have to do is take some simple actions, and there is a process that begins, this life cycle. All you got to do is put the seed in the ground. All you got to do is put the plant in the ground. And there's this life cycle that takes place where in a very short amount of time, there will be fruit. There will be bounty. There will be an abundance coming. I'm prophesying over your life that right now is the time by faith to take seed-like actions. If the Holy Spirit's been prompting you to do something, do not delay any longer. Take action upon it, because in your action, I'm telling you, it will set forth a life cycle that is going to produce bounty and abundance for you and for your family. Stuff is a-changing, my friends. The seasons have shifted. God is for you. And there is life that's waiting. All you got to do is activate it. Okay, today we are talking a little bit about this life cycle of bounty and abundance, this cycle of taking seed and putting it in the ground, and it sets forth things in motion that the Lord will provide, and he'll do so by our actions. And I really truly believe that that there's something taking place that is going to mean your prosperity, that's going to mean abundance for your household. Before this sermon even starts, I just want to prophesy something to you, that the Lord is resetting the economy of the house church. Okay, I can speak for our community. I can't speak for other people's communities. I believe that this is something that's going on beyond our borders, but I can tell you that in among the house church, in our context, that God is speaking prophetically to us, and he is wanting to reset the economic situation of the house church. I know the world's going crazy. It is. There's some terrible sad things taking place. My wife was just reading to me some of the restaurants that are closing down. These are restaurants that we would frequent, and there is but literally because of the quarantine, the cycle of being able to receive income had come to a close, and so these restaurants are unable to sustain. You know, maybe your business has gone through a little bit of this. Maybe you know friends who are going through a hardship. Can I tell you that the Lord's economy is not based on the response of our government? That the Lord has provision and resource in His storehouses and in His household, and He stores them for such a time as this. I think that there's a Joseph moment happening right now. Well, in the midst of heartache and where the world is going through a bit of a famine, that the Lord had already been creating storehouses with wise stewards, and that God has already set them apart in the house of God so that as the church, as God's people go through a hard time, that there would be provision stored up. Now, it's going to take some of those wise people understanding that that provision wasn't just for them, that it was for more. And so there's an unlocking that begins to take place. But I'm telling you, God is going to reset the economy of the household of God. And you are a part of it. Come on, if you can get your amen behind that, you should. There is, like I said, there's a divine happening where the world has been put on pause, where the economies have been put on pause, where much... All the surging forward of natural economies and man's strength had been exercised in these last days, and then through this virus everything got shut down, and we are left with our frailty. We're left with the reality of just how little we actually control in life. We're left with the reality that a human being who has great wealth and power can get sick and die just as easily as somebody in poverty. That the reality that we are just dust, that should have sunk in. I'm hoping it did for you, because in that reality, that you are merely dust, that you are a vapor, that in that reality, you come to the realization that the God of the universe cares for you deeply. And that it is His breath sustaining you, and it is His grace that gives you each day, that it is His power. Amen. That is what sustains humanity, not all of man's ingenuity and man's strength. As you come to this realization, there is a fear of the Lord that comes upon us. And when the fear of the Lord comes on us, that is the birthplace of true, authentic wisdom. And where true, authentic wisdom takes place, creativity and innovation from heaven's perspective is able to be birthed. I know that God speaks to each one of you. The Lord is. He's speaking in your circumstance. He's right there with you. He's a good shepherd. He's walking alongside of you. And when you listen to His voice, He's coaching your actions, and He's teaching you how you should live your life. And every time He speaks, there's potential for your creativity. Because when He speaks, something new is birthed. And if you will take action on the things that the Lord is speaking to you, and again, I'm setting us up for this morning because I'm asking the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of you, because there is a divine opportunity at hand. That as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you take action on what He says, it creates something new. This is called a word of wisdom. And this is not typically my method of preaching, but this morning I am going to give a word of wisdom. I prophesy, I've shifted, and I exhort and build you guys up, and often I'll teach out of the word, but this morning it's a word of wisdom. I'm going to throw the definition of what a word of wisdom is up on the board for you. But this, a word of wisdom is a directional word that when people take action on it in faith, again, it requires faith, that word has creative power, and it alters the future in such a way as to produce kingdom and supernatural results. A prophecy talks about God's will and his intentions towards you. And yes, by faith, you must take action on it, but it foretells the future. A word of wisdom actually creates the future. When you hear and act upon a word of wisdom, it changes your future. James 1 says that God will give wisdom. He'll give a word of wisdom to anybody who is willing to ask. If you have need of wisdom, he'll speak it to you. But when you hear it, you cannot doubt. You have to take action upon it. And as soon as you take action upon it, it changes your circumstances. A new future is possible if you take action on the word of wisdom. However, if you doubt at all, you'll be bounced back and forth wondering, was that God? Wasn't that God? Should I do that? Shouldn't I? And it no longer has the creative power to change your future. A word of wisdom has to be acted upon in faith. Now, my friends, the sermon that I am preaching this morning is a word of wisdom, and I truly believe that if the house church will take action upon this, that God will reset the economy of our church and that everything will change. Here we go. You know, God's provision, it doesn't always look the way that we want it to look. In fact, I'd say that God's provision often comes in forms that we aren't looking for. But when he provides, he often does it through people. And I don't know about you, but my pride gets tested when God does it through other people. My pride gets tested because if it came out of nowhere, let's say you have a financial need and you go to your mailbox one day and there's just a blank envelope in there with some cash in it. You're like, wow, an angel dropped off some cash for me. It's not attached to a person. And so there's no sense of loss that another person had to go through in order for you to receive. The idea of God's provision, God's supernatural provision for us, is if you keep it framed in the sense of this doesn't cost anybody else, this is just God supernaturally providing, I think as long as we stay in that sort of pattern, it doesn't check our pride. It doesn't sort of give us a guilty conscience. It doesn't call us into question put our stewardship on being tested. But when God provides, he does it through people. You're not going to see very often. I'm sure there are circumstances where all of a sudden you find the tree that's bearing money and it didn't cost anybody else and you just got money and resource for free. That's fine. But the reality, 99.9% of the time, is that God tells somebody that what they possess, that he has use of. And that person has to surrender it to the Lord. It was in their possession. It belonged to them. But that God has use of it. And so now they have to surrender it to the Lord. And often then the Lord will tell that person whom they should give it to. And so where you have a need and you are asking God to meet your need, what it actually means is that the Lord is going to go to somebody else and tell them that what they thought was a resource to them is actually something that is supposed to be given to someone else. That is how provision takes place in the body of Christ. I had a vehicle. We just planted the church. And I had three little ones, Josiah and Ellie and Ryan. Ryan had just been born. I was in college full time. We had just planted the church. So there's no money. And we were living, not even paycheck to paycheck. Our rent for our townhome costed more than what I was making, okay? It was dire. We literally were having to live by the provision of the Lord, which often meant that we come to the end of a month, there wasn't enough money, and then someone would come knocking on our door and hand us something. The Lord provided through our family, through our parents. It was a time of great humility for Nicole and I because it meant we were dependent on God, but through people. So here I was one day, my vehicle dies. It's a Tuesday. I need a car. And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I need a vehicle. On that Thursday, a friend of ours pulls into the driveway with a Ford Explorer, walks up to the driveway and says, or walks up to our door, knocks on the door. I answer. I said, hey. They said, do you need a car? I said, yes, I need a car. My car just died. They said, well, the Lord told me to give you mine. Wow. See, I go, praise God, supernatural provision. Maybe you hear that story and you go, praise God, supernatural provision. But think through the consequences of that. See, what it took was my friend who used to own a car that she drove, that she liked, that she enjoyed, she had to die to it so that God could make supernatural provision for us. See, this is how provision takes place in the body of Christ. It's how we're blessed in it, though. See, because when the Lord asks something of you and he says, hey, I need this of you, I'm requiring this of you, it becomes, if you can die to it, right? If you don't, if your flesh doesn't grab hold of that, my precious, right? If your flesh doesn't grab hold of it, it is funny how quickly you turn into a little goblin, though, as you know, around your stuff. How if the Lord requires it of you, if you can die to it in that moment, it becomes a great joy. I mean, such a joy to be able to sow that to the Lord and give it to somebody who has need. Wow, what a blessing is in that. I have story after story in my family of these kinds of things happening. I mean, story after story, because God's goodness continues to prevail. But what it's take, what's required to walk in supernatural provision in your life means your pride must die. See, if you can make your own way and your paycheck pays for everything and you never have need, then you don't need the body of Christ, and really you don't need God. And Jesus talks about this, how you cannot serve both God and money. One of them is the master. And as long as you provide for you, then God is not your God, because the chief representation in the Old Testament of who your God was, you know, we talk about tithes and offerings in the modern church. You know, we just a little bit ago, Austin took up a tithe and offering, and we teach the church that you're supposed to be tithing. You know what that is? The tithe was the way that you told the world who your God was. The tithe was how Abram declared to the world that the God Most High was his God. He tithed to Melchizedek, the high priest. He took a tenth of all that he had earned in a war, and he gave it to Melchizedek. He took the 10% of all that he had earned, and he gave it to his God. That was the declaration of who your God is. See, your offerings and your tithe, your money, it's either the Lord or it's you. Is it your money that rules your life, or is it the Lord that rules your life? Because if Jesus is your Lord, then he requires everything. He doesn't require the tenth of your possessions. He requires it all. Which means he could demand of you everything that you possess and say, I want you to sell all, give it to the poor, and then go follow me, like he did that rich young ruler. Because it belongs to him. When he purchased you with his blood, all of your possessions belong to him. This is the word you wanted to hear this morning, right? Keep listening to me. Don't get offended. Well, you can be offended, but let that offense lead you to the reality that you really need to repent, okay? The Holy Spirit wants to do a work in your life of liberty, and if you allow him today, he'll reset your economy. He'll reset the church's economy. He'll do a work among us that will be heard around the world, because what kind of church could ever do such a thing? You'll hear me this morning. If we'll act by faith, remember, this is a word of wisdom. I'm telling you, I heard from the Lord. If we act upon this, it will change everything. It's one thing to believe that God will provide supernaturally for a ministry. You know, when we planted the church at the beginning, we had that kind of stuff happening all the time. I mean, like, we had rent due, and then someone drops off a check for the next year's worth of rent. Like, and we didn't even know them, and, you know, that kind of supernatural supply. I think we can justify it in our minds for ministries. But what really tries your soul, and what I'm asking it to do this morning, is that your soul would be tried. It would be put on trial today. That you would feel the weight of this word, and you would allow it to test your pride. Because some out there believe that they are the source and they like to give to people, but you refuse to let anybody know that you have a need. You are in pride. And if you don't repent, even what you have will be taken from you. You may have money the rest of your life, but when you go to heaven and you stand before the judge, you're going to find out that your pride actually kept you from receiving what he had for your life. Don't allow your death to be what finally gets you to believe and understand that the possessions of this world are temporary. Get your heart around it now. Let the fear of the Lord sink in, that we might live in liberty the rest of our lives, in freedom. Okay? Whew, hope you're feeling it. Yay, Jesus. It's okay, the idea of supernatural provision, somebody sacrificing something on behalf of a ministry, because I think we can sort of like rationale it. But are you okay with people giving to you? Is your pride okay? Are you okay with admitting that you're really not actually doing well and you need some help? Because as soon as you could admit that, that means your prayer will finally be heard before the Lord. See, he knows your needs, but he needs you to talk about them. And if you're unwilling to talk about them, your needs won't be met supernaturally in God. See, his kingdom wants to meet all of your needs. His kingdom wants to manifest in every circumstance. But if you're unwilling to confess it with your mouth, if you're unwilling to let words come out of your mouth that acknowledge your need, my friends, you are the one standing in the way of the kingdom of heaven invading your circumstance. It has to come out in a prayer. You need to be able to tell other people, because God makes provision in the body of Christ. He knows your need before you say it, but he's asking that you say it. So that means he could meet it before you say it, but he's demanding that it is confessed. Because this is a heart issue for you. It's a heart issue. Can you admit that your marriage is actually wrecked and you need help? Can you admit that your kids actually don't like you? Can you admit these issues that are deep and are painful? Are you able to confess? Can you confess them to the Lord and ask for help? The next process is confessing it to the body so the body can add the grace that you need. Because some people actually have successful marriages and they could pray and minister and walk with you and help your marriage to succeed. Or are you too busy looking at the outward circumstances and you don't want your friends to know because there's an image that you're trying to keep up? Knock it off. As soon as you come to this level of recognition and let light shine on your life, then actual abundance can come upon your home. True wealth, true joy can come upon your home. I'm telling you, this is where liberty exists. Amen. All right. We are in the season of Passover. We're in the season of Pentecost. Passover happens, and then there are 7 weeks. 7 times 7, 49 days. And on the 50th day, it is called Pentecost. 50. We are in this season in between Passover and Pentecost. And during this season, in biblical history, is the time where there is the grain harvest. It's the first fruits offering unto the Lord. The first type of grain that is brought in is the barley. And so there is a barley harvest, and there's prophetic meaning to this, but we would take a sheaf of barley, the first fruits of barley, and we'd bring it and we would wave it before the Lord, and then the wheat harvest would come and we would do the same. There are two harvests taking place in this season. One is the church and the other is the world. One is the ingathering of the body of Christ and the reconciliation of the body of Christ, and where there has been things standing in the way of people coming into the fullness of all that God had provided for them. There is a receiving in this season, this window of time between Passover and Pentecost. God wants to do something supernatural in your life, in your family. He wants to take all the stuff that's been standing in the way and he wants to deal with it. And what a gift that you have been quarantined during this time. That means that you can freak out at home and nobody else gets to see it, all right? So your temper tantrum, and as God takes you to the woodshed and deals with your issues, nobody else is getting to see it right now. What a gift to you. Come on now. I'm not mad at you. I want you to take this seriously, though. Okay, please don't pretend anymore. because there is a real need for the secondary harvest, which is the harvest of the nations. There's a billion souls that are waiting. The harvest is white and it's ready. It's ripe with harvest. It's ready. If you lift up your eyes and see it, God wants to do something significant. But that's this season right now. And he's preparing the church and bringing the church to fullness so that we can enter into this harvest. And one of the things that God does in this season is he resets the economy. There's something called the Jubilee, right? Every 50 years in Israel's economy, they would erase all the debts. And they would actually reset the total economy. Nobody after 50 years has any debt. They reset it all. All the original inheritances go back to the original families. Nobody got to keep making money upon the poor person and, you know, and keep that family down. It all gets reset. Divine reset every 50 years. Listen, Pentecost, 50. God is doing a reset. There's a divine reset happening. And at the same time, the Lord is resetting the world's economy. I wonder if God is doing something in our day. The Holy Spirit had been speaking to me, and he said that there's so many prophetic pictures of the barley harvest and all that means. And this is called the Feast of Weeks. And in the Feast of Weeks, traditionally, they would read the story of Ruth and read the Psalms and remember David's life. And there are many prophetic meanings to these things, but that barley harvest, if you remember from the story of Ruth, they would, as they're harvesting, they would leave the outer run unharvested. And the reason that they would leave the outer run unharvested was because for the poor to come, the widows and the aliens, those from foreign lands, would be able to come and have grain for themselves. If grain fell to the ground, they weren't to pick that back up. They were to leave it on the ground so that the poor people could have something to harvest for themselves in this season. In this season, there is something to do with our body taking care of itself. That as we are preparing for a greater harvest, as God's doing works on the inside of us, it's also supposed to be financial. God's supposed to take care of the needs of the people. That it's in the leading up to Pentecost that the Lord, he takes the needs of the people and he has the people of God provide for the people of God. There's a prophetic picture in this. I hope you're seeing it because we're going to read some stories today, two passages of scripture, and then I have this word of wisdom, this application. I'm going to share it at the end. And then if we'll act on it, my friends, something will change in our world. Yeah, buddy. If you have a Bible, go to Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse 43. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 43. If you remember the story of the day of Pentecost, so historically the day of Pentecost is the Feast of Weeks. For the Christians, for the church, we recognize it as the time when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of humanity. That God with us forever, that he poured his Spirit out. The church is given birth and the people of God are empowered to go and to take the word to the ends of the world. In that context is this verse, okay? This is verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Many wonders and signs. All those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all of the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. Okay, look up here. A sense of awe fell upon all the people because of the signs and wonders that were taking place. We are in a season of signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. What's a sign? Listen, I think I have this definition for you as well. We're going to put that up. A sign. A sign is an experience that points to a greater reality. Often a sign is given to demonstrate that a prophetic word is coming to pass or to help people recognize that something of significance is taking place, and they would have missed it if it wasn't for the sign. Think about the birth of Jesus. There is a star that appears, and it was a sign that the Messiah had been born. That star in the heavens that suddenly appears is proclaiming to the world that something significant has taken place. It is a sign, and it's pointing to a greater reality. I had this experience. I was in the Philippines, and we were dedicating a home and a community center in a poor neighborhood in Manila. And so we had gathered the church together, and we were having a barbecue, and we were celebrating, and you know, the whole church is there in this complex, this community center that we're dedicating to the Lord. We were praying over the property, and as we were praying over the property, the Holy Spirit started to stir in me. And so I grabbed the microphone and I began to prophesy. And as I'm sharing this prophetic word about all that God was going to do, this thing leapt up out of my mouth before I could even. If you ever had something come out of your mouth, and you're like, I wish I could take that back, right? Like it just came out of you. Well, this is what came out of me. And as a sign for the fulfillment of this prophetic word, that you would know this is the word of the Lord for you, a great rain is going to take place over this house, a great rain. As I say this, we hear, now, first of all, the sky was blue. It was nice out. There was no clouds in the sky, okay? There's no sign of rain going to take place. And so as soon as I'm saying that, I'm thinking to myself, what the heck are you saying, Jamie? Like, dumb. You should have said, and the sign for this is going to be blue skies. You know, like, but out of my mouth comes, it's going to rain. I, as soon as I say that, this thunderclap, you know, several blocks away, we're in Manila, so we're amongst buildings. You can't see what's happening on the horizon over this thunderclap. Kaboom! And something like the sound of a train is coming towards us. It had opened in rain, such torrential downpour that it sounded like a train coming towards us. We all start scrambling, and of course, we're clearing out the barbecue because everything was outside. We're throwing it in this building, and people are looking at me like they're mad because they're like, why would you do that? You ruined our barbecue. Listen, when you release a sign, it helps people to recognize its fulfillment. These are days where signs, where the believers are going to need to learn how to move in signs and in wonders. God wants to release signs and wonders among us, okay? There is a sign that is needed to take place so that people come to recognize this is the word of the Lord, okay? Today, we are releasing a word of wisdom, and there will be signs associated with its fulfillment. I'm telling you, debts are going to be erased. The next 2 weeks, debts, things that you thought were never going to be able to be erased are going to be erased. The Lord is going to intervene in your circumstances. Things that you never thought were possible are going to have the sudden turnarounds. God is going to move on your behalf. Look at verse 44 there. All those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone might had need. Now, this is such a wild verse because I think we read that today and we're like, wow, it must have been really nice to live back then. What a supernatural happening. As if this was an out-of-body experience for the church. But I don't think this was a supernatural happening. I think this was literally the response that people began to have in their hearts as the Holy Spirit was moving upon them. Because when the Holy Spirit moves upon you, suddenly you have great compassion for people. suddenly you connect and have understanding of people's experiences. And when that compassion touches your heart, you want to do something about it. When you recognize someone's story that they have a need and the Holy Spirit moves on you, the response, it's a natural response. It's to look and take inventory of what's in your possession and then to look at their need and ask the Lord, Lord, do you have need of my stuff? Do you require my stuff? That's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves on you. It's a natural response. It's not a supernatural response. It's actually what takes place in the hearts of believers when they recognize needs. Because that's what happens with the Father. See, the Father wants you to confess your needs to Him. And as soon as you give voice to them, the Lord can intervene. When you bring recognition of your need to the body of Christ, this is what happens. You let them know you have a need, and then the Holy Spirit moves on people, and God begins to meet your needs through people. But if you stay silent and you never let anybody know about your need, but you're praying to God, oh God, please meet my need, but you don't tell anybody, that's the point. That your confession to the Lord is also supposed to be shared with the body of Christ. And so if we can provide an opportunity for the church to give voice, I wonder if God won't move upon our body so that everyone in our body, we could all say together, none of us have need. See, this is what the Lord is going to do in this season of Pentecost for the house church. The Holy Spirit is going to supernaturally touch hearts with His grace. Compassion is going to rise up. And then as we hear about the needs of others, we're going to choose by faith to lend the Lord our possessions. There's an unlocking of the secondary harvest that takes place when we act like this. See, the body of Christ needs to come into strength so that we are able then to step boldly into the wheat harvest, the harvest of the nations, the peoples. A billion soul harvest is to come in. The body of Christ needs to be at strength. We need to have the debts that are holding people back erased. We need people. See, there's debts between people, not even monetary debts. They're emotional debts. They're judgments that we've had towards one another. There are things that have prevented, even at the house church, where a person comes and has an experience, they get in a relationship with somebody, but then something takes place in that relationship, and they feel judged. And so in order to no longer feel judged, they stop coming to church, and they isolate themselves. See, those people that have isolated themselves, we need those people in the body of Christ. We need to be back at full strength. See, there's a barley harvest at first. There's a harvest of the body that needs to come back together. And where there are debts, those debts need to be erased, and which means that the debt of mercy must be paid. And so for some of you, what you really need to do is exercise mercy towards the people that have judged you. We need you back in the body. We need you to stop holding on to those bitterness. We need you to stop holding on to those judgments. We need you to erase those things. And there's a grace for it right now. And so if you feel tension between people, you need to go make it right. There's an erasing of debts that must take place. But it's not just the emotional side. It's also the tangible. It's medical debt. You know, my friends, there are people who have gotten themselves into serious financial trouble. And you know what? Yeah, it was their fault. Yeah, they made some bad decisions. Yeah. Unsecured debt, not cool. Don't rack up a credit card bill. Like, it's very difficult to get out of that. But can I tell you that the Lord, in His supernatural provision, really could break you out of that prison? And you would say, Pastor Jamie, I don't even want to tell people about my credit card debt because I'm embarrassed about it. It's a big need in my life, but I don't want people to know about it. And I certainly don't want people having to pay for my mistakes. That's what mercy is. This is what mercy is. It shouldn't separate you from the body of Christ. It should make you love the body of Christ even more, because when your pride goes away, you want to talk to people and connect with people about what you're going through because you don't feel judgment from them. You get relief. So if you're holding yourself aloof because you feel condemned or judged or you have failure in your life and you're separating yourself from the people, my friends, it's your pride. You're prideful. It's your pride that's separating you. It's not God, it's not condemnation, it's not other people, it's you. Repent. Change your stinking thinking. Humble yourself and let the Lord restore you and heal you. Why would you separate yourself from the people that love you? Don't do that. That is a work of the enemy. Come on, can I get an amen up in here? There's like five people watching, so the supernatural key to the harvest is in this thing. I want to show you in a miracle that Jesus performed. It was a sign. It's a sign to the great harvest that's taking place. This is Mark chapter 6, verse 33. Mark 6, verse 33. It's a famous story. You've heard it before, but I want you to see it with new eyes. Mark 6, 33. The people saw Jesus and the disciples going, and many recognized them, and they ran together on foot from all the cities to get there ahead of them. Jesus was crossing the lake, Sea of Galilee. He was crossing ahead, and the people saw where they were going, and so they ran on the shore ahead of them to meet Jesus when he came back ashore. Okay, so Jesus is trying to get away from the crowd, and the crowd runs to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to meet him. He saw the large crowd, and look what it says. He felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That is a quote that we have heard before. Matthew chapter 9 says that Jesus saw the crowds and he said that the harvest was great, but the workers are few. And the reason he said that was because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is seeing the same experience here. Okay, it's connected to the harvest. That's what I want you to see. He began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so they can go to the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat." They need provision. But he answered them and he said, "You give them something to eat." This is awesome. You ever felt a great need and you're like, "Lord, please meet the needs of this great people." And then he's like, "Why don't you do something about it?" "Lord, what the heck am I going to do about it? I don't have means to do this." But he goes, "Yeah, you do actually. It's in your hand. You just don't even recognize it." And this is what's happening. See, God's given you provision. And this is what they look. They go, so he said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" Like, how much food do you have? And then he says, "Go and look." I love that. Right? You go, "Lord, would you please meet the needs of the world?" And God goes, "Why don't you do something about it?" And you're like, "Lord, how can I do something about it?" And he goes, "Well, what's in your hand? What do you have? Take inventory. When's the last time you looked to see actually what was extra? What do you have that's extra? What do you have sitting around that's just sitting there? It's not of any use to you right now. What's in your hand?" So Jesus says to them, "Go count the loaves. How many loaves and fishes do you have?" So they went and they found out and they said, 5 barley loaves, the barley harvest. 5 barley loaves, 5, grace. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, 2 harvests, 2 fish. It said 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. The story in John is retold and it says that there was a little boy with a sack lunch with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and they went and stole the little boy's lunch. Right? Master has required this. He commanded them and said, go tell them to sit down in the green grass. And so they sat down in the grass in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed the food. And he broke the loaves and he kept giving it to the disciples to set before them. He divided up the fish among them all and they ate. They all ate and were all satisfied. And they picked up the 12 full baskets of broken pieces and all the fish also, and there were 5,000 men who also ate that day, besides the women and children. Okay, so like 15,000 people or more ate off of 5 loaves and 2 fish. The master has need of it. Are you willing to take what's in your hand and let the Lord bless it and let it become a multiplication in somebody else's hand? Are you willing to take what's in your possession and allow the Lord to give it to somebody else? What if God had given you something in your possession right now, and you're thinking of it as, oh, this is my business strategy. This is my thing. This is how my family is going to eat today. This is how my future is going to be paved. But what if Jesus said to you, yeah, I gave that to you, and I'm asking it from you right now. Because if you'll give what you think is for you and for your lunch, if you'll give it to the Lord, he'll make provision for everyone to have lunch. This is the miracle. This is the sign. This is what happened after Pentecost. The people took inventory of what was in their possessions, and then they looked around at the needs that other people had. They didn't give it to the church. See, there's a later story which says that they were laying it at the apostles' feet. I think what ended up happening is everybody was filled. Everybody had, no longer anybody had needs, but they still wanted to be generous. So they started giving it to the apostles going, we don't know what to do with it. You deal with it. But before that happened, the people were recognizing needs in other people and they were just taking care of it. We don't need a nonprofit organization standing between you and you providing with the Lord's provision to somebody else. You don't need a tax write-off for this. See, you see somebody that has a need and you have provision. Why don't you just give it to them? There is a supernatural opportunity that is taking place. And this is the word of wisdom, my friends, house church people. What if we, in this moment, in leading to Pentecost, we looked around and we took inventory of the needs in our body. And then we made the needs known to the body. And in making the needs known to the body, then you would be left with the opportunity to look at what needs you also have provision for, and you would choose in your strength to meet the needs of somebody else. And what if in one fell swoop, we could erase the debt of the house church? Not the ministry, the people. What if in one fell swoop, we could meet the needs of the house church? What if we could say, like the first church, that we would have such great favor with the people of the world because our church has such great supply, such strength to it. None of us are in need. We are in strength and we can give to others. I am telling you that a jubilee is possible and that it doesn't require some great feat of supernatural strength. What it requires is simple. Number one, that you admit you have needs and you share them with us. Number two, that you are willing to look at what's in your possession and see where there is bounty, where God added to you in this last season, and would you lend it to the Lord? What if God, we took a short survey. I sent an email out to the house church. Maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. Some of you replied. The responses were very interesting to me because we asked specific financial questions because I wanted to know how many of our businesses are closed, how many people got really dramatically affected. Do you know what happened? I actually saw there was a large portion of us who benefited from this quarantine. Your finances got better. Some of us took huge hits. There are people among us, my friends, who took huge hits, like in danger or losing everything. But the Lord took and he like multiplied you and added to you. You were like Joseph. You have a storehouse. Well, what if the Lord did that so that you could make supply for the person who took the huge hit? I know everything in you is like, wait a second. I worked for that. It's mine, my precious. But I am asking you, would you please ask the Holy Spirit what's yours and for your future and what was actually seed for you to sow? Because I think that God, again, Anytime there's a need, the Lord already knew about it beforehand, and so he makes provision for it, but it has to be confessed. And when we confess it, that's when the provision can come. Okay, so that means that God in his divine wisdom already supplied for the house church. But what we need now is to recognize the need, take inventory, find out what's in our possession so that we can meet everyone's needs. I think we can have the provision miracle that took place after the day of Pentecost. I think we can take it. I think we can do it right now. So here's the word of wisdom. This is what I'm asking our church to do. This is the day of Pentecost, 50, Jubilee. Let's erase the debts of the church. Amen. Let's, so tomorrow, Monday, I'm going to send you a survey. It's a one question test. It basically asks, what do you need? And then it asks you to be specific about it. The survey will take care of itself. It'll be clear. If you don't get our emails, I'm asking that you go to our website and get your email in there so that you can start receiving our emails, because there are some important communications that are being sent out in this day, okay? There will also be a link on the website for this, so you can go onto the website if you're really you don't do email or whatever. You can take and tell us what's going on in your life from a link on the website itself. But this is what we're going to do. This week, like in the next few days, I need you to do this right away. I can't have you delay because we're trying to make response. What I would like for us to do is talk about our needs. Share what's actually going on. What do you have need of? It might be monetary. It might be that you need a car. Like you don't have a car, but you actually need a car. Tell us about what the need is. Please don't qualify it, because I think God's going to do some supernatural things. Some of you have medical debt. Some of you are in danger. Some just need somebody to go grocery shopping for them because it puts them in undue risk right now, because they're an older person and they are a high risk for this virus. And so they just need somebody to help. Somebody just needs leaves raked. You know, like I have some manual labor on my house that I actually could use some help with because of my back. I just can't do it, right? There's things like that. We're going to take an inventory, all the needs of the house. We're going to take that and compile that into a document. It will be an anonymous document. I'm not putting your information online. Don't worry. Okay, the need will be listed, and next to it, the location of that need, so that someone doesn't sign up to rake leaves and they live in Farmington, but the raking leaves is in Duluth, okay? Like, we're not doing that, okay? But so the location will be there. But you're going to go and you're going to recognize, we're going to send this out to everybody, all the needs of the house church. And then you and your family are going to look at the needs of the house church, and you're going to decide, listen, we can take care of that one and that one and that one. And maybe you sign up to take care of three or four needs, or maybe just one. And everybody is going to contribute to meet the needs of everybody. And in a 2-week period, we are going to meet the needs of the house church. And this is what's going to happen. Some of you, you're like, man, you're bazillionaires. You got greatly blessed in this season. God has blessed you with great wealth, right? You have storehouses. You're like Joseph. And somebody else has got a significant debt, and they're going to crash and burn. And you look at that need, and you go, wow, Lord. I mean, can you imagine how you're going to dramatically change that person's life forever? And you go, Lord, we're going to do this. And you wipe out a $20,000 debt or something, like, and have it just, wow. But that person who's got great strength and wealth, you would say, well, Pastor Jamie, I don't really have any need of anything. No, I need you to look at your life for real and decide that there are some areas that people could add to your life. Maybe you don't need money, but maybe you really could use some chores around the house, because this is what happens. See, everybody deserves the opportunity to contribute. Everybody. And so somebody who is maybe in a hard financial situation right now, they still have time. They still have gifts to offer. They still can contribute. So let's make a way for them to be able to contribute as well. So it's not just all the big needs. It needs to be the small needs as well. My friends, we could move our church from in debt and broken and in weakness and in a 2-week period before Pentecost, shift gears to us being debt-free and in strength, ready to go after the wheat harvest, the harvest of the nations, the billion soul harvest coming. It's up to the church to take care of the church. The world will know that we are Christians by our love, our demonstrated love for one another. I'm telling you, if we will do this for each other, that rumor will go out. And like the early church, great favor will be towards our community. And we will add to our numbers day by day. I mean, can you imagine if you got to be known as the church where all your debts get erased? Are you kidding me? People are going to be lining up to come to church. That's not the point. But listen, I think that the Lord wants to move our church community into strength. And that means that we need each other. Great grace is going to abound to our community as we take care of one another. So let the Holy Spirit move on you today. Let the Holy Spirit move on you today. Just put a hand on your own heart right now. And Holy Spirit of God, would you come and overshadow us? See, we're not looking for another Pentecost, Lord, as in an outpouring, because you already poured out your Spirit. Wow, if you can, I wish you could hear the sound that's in this place right now. It's downpouring outside right now. And the roof is just like there is the sound of a train of rain is just flowing on us right now. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would overshadow. See, we're not looking for another outpouring. The Holy Spirit already outpoured on the world. What we are needing to do right now is receive from his presence, to enter into his presence with faith. Let compassion touch your heart. And I think as you read the needs of the church, your compassion is going to turn on. And you're going to go, wow, we could touch that person's life and change that life. Our kids could be a part of changing people's lives. We could go do some yard work. We could go love on a family. We could go provide for them. And our community is going to be upgraded, upgraded, upgraded. Great strength is going to be added to us. This is a word of wisdom. It's a word of wisdom. It means that by faith, without doubting, we take action. I am asking, if you feel critical towards what I've presented before, that you stay quiet. Be quiet. Those words of judgment, those words that seek to criticize, to minimize, to somehow take away the power of this moment, we just speak a be quiet. Any sinister spirits that would speak against this, we break your power. Be quiet. Lord, I pray that faith would enter hearts. Lord, that every person who participates and has their heart stirred this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would take our little sack lunch, and you would eliminate the debt of the corporate body. Holy Spirit of God, to overshadow each one today. God, I don't have the power to pull this off. I'm simply making a request of your people this morning. And by faith, God, I preach this, knowing, Lord, that's what you're saying. And so I thank you for the creative release that's taking place. I can confidently say, my friends, that when you engage in this, the Lord is going to release creative solution to unlock your future. Breathe in, breathe out. Let the wind of heaven come. Breathe in, breathe out. Let the rain of heaven wash away your shame. Breathe in, breathe out. Let his mercy come and wash away your judgments. Lord, I proclaim a release over your people today. If you don't know Jesus or you've been far away from him, I'm inviting you today, if you'll receive, if you'll put your simple faith in Christ, I'm telling you, he'll come. He'll change your life. All you got to do is humble yourself and receive his death as payment for your sins. Don't pay for your sins yourself. You got to receive his mercy today. That means humility. You have to humble yourself and receive. Holy Spirit, would you overshadow hearts and lives today that you'd make it right for them? Oh, Lord. God, I thank you that the body is going to minister to the body in these coming weeks. I thank you for the removal of the middleman. Nobody seeks to make a profit. Hallelujah. Lord, just the body taking care of the body, that it might be said in our day, the same way it was said in the early days, Lord God, that there was no need among them. Lord, that there was no need among them. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shoo, thank you, Jesus. Father, as your ecclesia, Lord, as the gathering of the redeemed, we're holding court right now. Your authority is here, Lord Jesus. And once again, in agreement with one another, we decree that the debts that the church owes, yes, also the ministry, why not? That this building would be paid off even before we move in, Lord. Financial burdens would be lifted off of people, that the debt of the people would be erased in these days. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for the great joy set before us that we would be willing to lay down our right to our stuff so that others would have freedom and liberty. Give us grace, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, would you empower your people in these days? Lord, let this initial harvest of the church be the prophetic sign that the world will know, Lord Jesus, that you are the King. Lord, I thank you for the harvest to come. So, Father, we speak grace upon grace to your body this morning, and I bless them. Would you just receive a blessing this morning? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be so gracious to you. May he grant you peace, that his favor would rest on your life, and that everywhere you go, this kingdom of peace would be advanced. God, guard hearts and minds. Keep them in these days. Lord, I bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And all who dare to agree with that said, amen. I have one last thing just to share with you. You know, we are leading into Pentecost. And the House Church community, we're going to be doing some fun things. Starting on the 22nd through the 31st, every morning, we're going to be having devotions live. We're going to be doing communion every morning. The 10 days leading into Pentecost. 10 days were spent in the upper room where the disciples set themselves apart to pursue the presence. We also are going to do the same thing. 10 days. So every morning we're going to have communion. I'll be hosting that live from my backyard like we've been doing. So that'll be every morning. And then each evening we'll be having live worship once again with our worship leaders in their home settings. And that is going to grow and grow, my friends. And our community will be gathering again very soon. So be looking for that communication as well. Very soon we'll be together. God bless you. We love you. And I just pray that his grace would be abundant for your lives, that this would be a time of release for you, and that your debt would be erased supernaturally in these days. I bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.